stands out above all else in my own story is the idea of don't quit. Don't quit. Let God continue to write the rest of your story. Did we have that? Was there an audio clip on that, Corey? No audio clip? Oh, man. Well, I had an audio clip of good old Paul Harvey saying the rest of the story. That's the message title today. The rest of the story. Apparently, me and Tech are not friends. It's a love-hate relationship. Anybody else have that with their Tech? I love to hate it because they're necessary evils in our life sometimes, and that's ugh. So this morning, I want to share with all of us four powerful reminders that have, in my life, helped me stay grounded and keep me moving forward, no matter what the challenges are in life. And I hope that they'll encourage you to do the same. If you're a note taker, the first one is, it's not about me. It's not about me. And I know you're probably sitting there going, what in the world? How in the world is that even motivating, Pastor? Well, it is, because it isn't about us, right? The truth is that we need to remember that we are all called to love others, right? We have talked about that in depth. We are called to love others and to live selflessly, just like Jesus Christ did. And it reminded me of a story of a couple, their parents, and they lost their daughter, and the pain from that loss was unimaginable, and it didn't make sense. And a lot of people, Charity and I know a lady in Libby that lost her son, and she pretty much just quit, just give up. And this couple did not do that. They did not quit. They didn't give up. Instead, they decided to dedicate their lives to bring in as many people as possible to heaven so they could meet their little girl. And I thought, man, that's just powerful. And God took their deepest pain and turned it into a driving force of caring for other people, especially those who might otherwise go unnoticed, the ones that fly under the radar, the ones that nobody pays attention to because they're too different. They made it their life mission to share Jesus with. And they had reflected this and made this statement that God often uses our lowest moments to create opportunities to help others reach their highest potential. God can use your pain to motivate your heart to care for others that no one else will care for when we allow him to. And this principle, it's remarkable how God works these things out, but this principle is reflected in Joseph's story in Genesis chapter 40. You guys know that story? Joseph was unjustly imprisoned and betrayed by his brothers. He used his lowest moments to serve others faithfully. He interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker. Trusting that God was working through his suffering. So check this out. This is our first Bible head challenge. Kids, where are we at? Where's my New Life kids? Get your Bibles. We got some sugar. We're going to do the first boy and the first girl. You guys ready? It is Genesis chapter 40, verses 12 through 15. Genesis 40, 12 through 15. You can't cheat by using the screen. Boom, there's one there. And I need a girl. There's a girl back here. Woohoo! Sha. There you go. Good, you got a Kit Kat. Woohoo. Man, that mic's doing some weird stuff. Let's read it. Let's check it out. This is an amazing story. Verse 12, and it says, then Joseph said to him, this is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should have put me in this pit. Check out Joseph's plea. Remember me when it's well with you. It's just a glimmer of hope, right? Joseph is like, there's a glimmer of hope. Even in his pain, he's like, remember me when everything's back to normal for you. Remember me. Talk to Pharaoh. God often uses our lowest moments to shape us and open doors to help others reach their highest potential. That's exactly what Joseph was doing, right? Just as he worked through Joseph in his trials and the pain of those grieving parents, God can use your struggles and my struggles to inspire people, to inspire us to care for people who might otherwise be overlooked. Let's look at verse 13 again. It says, in 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office. And you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. I read that. It stood out and popped out to me for this reason. It was just powerful. But what if Joseph would have been too focused on his own situation, right? Unjustly imprisoned, unjustly in that place. What if he would have been too focused on what others did to him and not focused on how he could help others? I can't help but think God might not have been able to restore the cupbearer to put that plan into motion because of Joseph's obedience that took place. Does that make sense? So many times we get caught up in the circumstance of what somebody else has done to us, or how could God let this happen, or whatever the scenario is in our life, and we miss the opportunities to bless other people, that it was the one method that God was choosing to use to lift you up. God does not consider our position when determining whether or not he's going to use us. He considers our willingness to be used. We've all heard this saying, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called, right? A perfect example of this truth is Moses. We all know the story of Moses. When God called Moses to lead his people out of Egypt, right? Moses felt absolutely inadequate, right? In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 through 12 says this, Moses said to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." For our vernacular, for our day, it means he don't speak much good or English, right? But let's look at God's response. Check this out. God says, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall say." God didn't call Moses because he was this great public speaker, right? He didn't call him for that. In fact, Moses' weakness made God's power even more evident. When God calls us, he equips us with what we need to accomplish his purposes. And that's something that we got to grab a hold of. His purposes. He doesn't focus on our limitations. He focuses on the power, his power that works through us to provide and to accomplish his purposes. Number two, the next thing is there's purpose in our pain. Okay, I've got another Biblehead challenge, kids. Another Biblehead challenge. I got a Twix and a Twizzler. We're ready. If you've already won, you can't win again. Here it is, first boy, first girl. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 1, 4. Boom, we got one. What you want? Boy, got a boy? Got a boy? Boom, wow. Got it right there. Okay, you guys are good. Callie, your kids, they're awesome. They're a rock star. I love this scripture. 2 Corinthians 1, 4, Paul says, who comforts us in our affliction? So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. This morning you should have got a broken crayon when you come in. Anybody not get a broken crayon? Raise your hand. Keep it up. Steve's gonna hook you guys up. You need a broken crayon, hang them up. Hey, keep your hands up. It's important that we get our crayon. It's crayon day at New Life. Got my crayon. Carrie, did you get your crayon? We're going to have to hook you up and get you a crayon. We're going to wait till everybody gets this so it makes sense. Who else didn't get a crayon? Raise your hand. There's a couple right there, Steve, right beside you. There's a couple over here. Duke was handing them out and didn't even take a crayon. You pull a Pastor Dave trick. We have a couple. Yeah, did you guys get one? Yep, everybody got one? Okay, here's what I want you to do. Look at your crayon. Now imagine that you have your beautiful crayon. I have this beautiful one that's not broken. And it makes beautiful colors, right? I can color all pretty. I stay in the lines. I make it all beautiful. But I accidentally, oops, I broke it. Now, when I was a kid, I would not use broken crayons. Anybody else that way? They were useless. You didn't use broken crayons, right? They were useless. And when we look at this, we might think that it is no longer useful because it is broken. But if you look, if you pick it up and you start using it to color, what happens? You realize something remarkable. It still works. Yes, it still works. A broken crayon can create just as much beauty as a whole one. Who'd have thunk it? Sometimes it even works better because of smaller spaces or unique details that it helps to get that broken crayon in there, believe it or not. But life sometimes can be just like this, right? We experience pain and challenges or brokenness, and it might seem like we no longer have value or we no longer have the capability to do anything, right? But God, like an amazing skilled artist, sees the potential in every part of us, even the broken parts. He sees the potential. And he will take what's broken and create something beautiful out of it. It's that song, what's that song, Beauty from Ashes? And the crazy thing about it, it's like that couple that lost their daughter. They made beauty out of ashes. They saw something, they thought, no, we're not gonna wallow. They grieved, I'm sure. They went through the grieving process, but they didn't let it keep them there. They're like, we want people to meet our daughter in heaven. And they begin to lead people to Jesus. It was beauty out of their brokenness. He takes what is broken and creates something beautiful. And I love 2 Corinthians 1:4 because it reminds us that God comforts us in our pain so that we can comfort others. Right? And check it out. It says, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in What's the next word? Any affliction. Any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Just as a broken crayon can still create something beautiful and colorful, God can use your pain to help someone else and bring hope into their lives. So I gave you the crayon as a reminder. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. You can do whatever you want with the crayon, obviously. But could you put it somewhere to use as a reminder that when you feel broken, that God can still use your pain, your brokenness, to bring beauty. God can transform your pain into purpose. Amen? Every time you see that crayon, or any crayon for that matter, I hope that it'll encourage you that even in your brokenness, there is meaning and there is hope in that pain. A broken crayon can still make a masterpiece. So can you. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, Paul says, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore," Paul says, "I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Man, I thought about that a lot, and I let it marinate in my head a lot this week in my heart. And only God could take something that was intended to destroy us and turn it into a catalyst for our destiny. Think about that for a minute. Right? Each valley that we walk through becomes an opportunity for God to reveal his unwavering and unfailing love for us. Even in the most challenging times, he uses them to strengthen and prepare us for the great things that he has in store. Number three, we must remain called according to his calling and according to his purpose. The enemy here, this is something, Jeannie Mayo, one of my spiritual mom and one of my mentors, drilled this into us as youth pastors, that the devil can't steal your destiny. Did you know that? He can't steal it, but he can sure convince you to quit and before you're finished. He can't do anything but cause you to convince you to quit. And this is another Biblehead challenge, and this is this scripture I want you guys, if you're an underliner in your Bible, underline this bad boy, because this is a good verse. But another Biblehead, Romans 8:28. Got one there. My mic. There it is. Woohoo. All right. Let's check this one out. Let's read it together. Can we read it together? It says, "And we know that for those," come on, let's read it together. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose." Let's read it again like we really believe it. "And we know Okay, let's read it like we're excited about it because it's the word of God. Ready? "And we know man, I believe you." Woohoo! Too many times we allow negative circumstances to cause us to give up on the call that God has for our lives. We don't think that we can do it. It's like, no. And there's some of us that haven't even figured out what the call of God is on your life. Can I tell you what it is? To be the light of the world. To be the light in the darkness. You are children of light. You are to be the salt and the light. That is what you are called to be. And circumstances come and they kick you in the face and you give up. You become a victim, or you just quit, or you just give up on stuff like that. You allow it to derail you. I found this story of this lady. Her name is Gianna Jessen. Anybody ever heard that name? Gianna Jessen. Gianna, her life story is remarkable. It's a remarkable testimony to resilience, faith, and purpose. Let me give you a quick look at Gianna's life. She wasn't supposed to survive. Her mother was having an abortion, a saline abortion, and it failed. And Gianna survived against all odds, and that was just the beginning of her story. She was diagnosed because of the failed abortion with cerebral palsy, and that wasn't her choice either. But she doesn't call it an affliction. She calls it... how does she put it? She puts, it is the gift, her gift of cerebral palsy. If you guys should look up her story on YouTube, it is amazing. But she was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. The challenges that she faced were completely out of her control. Doctors didn't think she'd walk, much less live a normal life. But she chose victory over victimhood. Instead of letting her circumstances define her, Gianna decided to rise above them. She became a passionate pro-life advocate, traveling the world and sharing her story. Sound familiar? Sharing her story and her impact because of God working through her is global. Gianna has spoken to people across nations, being recognized by world leaders, and inspired countless lives. And she has stayed committed to her calling no matter how hard things got. She trusted God, stayed focused on her purpose that he gave her. Gianna's story, and I wish I would have had time to download some of her story for you guys to watch, but I encourage you, go put it in YouTube. Gianna, that's the spelling right there, and it's on your sheet, I think. Gianna, what a powerful, powerful story. And it's a reminder that circumstances don't have to define you. Somebody needs to hear that today. Your circumstances don't have to define you. Amen. Amen. Even when life feels impossible, God can turn it around and use it for good if we refuse to quit. Her story really makes us think that, man, somebody that had that start in life rose above her circumstances and embraced the call that God put in her life, and she's living it out. And I tell you what, she's got spunk and tenacity. Watching some of her videos, she's just like, she calls it out. She calls it the way it is. And it's remarkable. Goes to churches, goes to world leaders, and shares her story. Jesus never promised us a life without challenges. He never said, when you give your life to me and you accept my free gift of grace, that it's all going to be rainbows and unicorns. He never promised that. What did he promise? He promised and assured us that he would be with us every step of the way. And when we trust God, he can take what the enemy intended for harm and completely turn it around, showcasing his power and reminding us that he always has the final say. But can we put that scripture back up, Corey, real quick? The last one? But here's the ticket, And we know that though for those who love God, all things work together for good. But here's the qualifier. For those who are called to what? According to his purposes. If you're trying to seek out your own purposes, you get what you get. Right? How many times do we have our own agenda that we bring to God? And God, I want you to do this for me, and I want you to do that for me. And it has nothing to do with his plan and his purposes for your life. It's some selfishness. Gianna is known for always saying this everywhere she goes. She says this, someone else's eternity may be waiting on the other side of your obedience. That gives me goosebumps. Our obedience, even in the waiting seasons, the holding patterns in our life, can have an eternal impact on others. And it's in these waiting seasons that we often find the answers that we need. Which brings us to the fourth. And that's this. Our answers often come in the waiting seasons. You thought that was going to be all profound and stuff, didn't you? We've got to remain faithful because the very thing that we need for our destiny to be fulfilled often comes during our difficult or our waiting seasons. Consider the story of Jacob. How many know the story of Jacob? Jacob falls in love with this lady named Rachel, right? You guys know the story? Falls in love with Rachel and comes into an agreement to work for her father for 7 years for the right and the privilege to marry her. Man, how'd you like that, Zach? You have to work. There you go. You're good. You don't have a sister. You're all right. But to work for the love of your life's father for 7 years just to get the chance to marry her. But there's a twist in the plot. Rachel's father tricks him, and Jacob ends up marrying Rachel's sister, Leah, instead. I'm still baffled by that, but maybe he had to come in blindfolded. I don't know. But Jacob, and here's the crazy thing about it. Jacob could have just said, heck no, I'm out, right? I'm not going to do this. He could have given up, and he could have ran off, frustrated by the situation. Instead, he chose to honor the commitments that he made and fulfill his responsibilities to Leah despite the obvious disappointment. And this story shows us the importance of doing what is right and remaining faithful even when things don't go as planned. In Genesis 29, verse 35, this 29 is where we find the story. But verse 35, Leah declares that, before I read this, let's do some trivia. How many children did Jacob have? I have a 12. Is there any other answer? He had 13 kids. He had one daughter. He had 13 kids through four ladies, right? Two wives and their handmaidens. And there's a line, blah, 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 in all of that. But Leah, in verse 35, declares this, this time I will praise the Lord after giving birth to her son, Judah, who was her fourth or fifth. And she names him Judah, who becomes what? An ancestor to Jesus, right? The line of Judah, Jesus came from. This significant moment reminds us of the importance of faithfulness, even during seasons of waiting and uncertainty. Jacob's story shows us that God often works through our challenges and delays to fulfill his ultimate plan. And the blessing Jacob was destined for, being part of the lineage of the Messiah, was realized because he remained faithful during a difficult and extended season. What was the difficult and extended season? Anybody know? Well, first of all, he didn't marry the the lady that he wanted to marry first. Ended up being blessed and got to marry Rachel too. But Rachel was barren. And in those days, handmaidens could be given for that purpose, right? And it was just the process of having kids. He was promised this lineage. He was promised these things. But what if he were to quit too early? The powerful reminder is this: the answer to our prayers and the breakthroughs that we seek often come when we stay the course and trust God's timing. How many love waiting on God? Yeah. There's a couple of you. I'm going to believe you. But here's the thing that we got to understand. Just because it's not our timing doesn't mean it's not perfect timing. Right? God's timing is always on time and always perfect. And so many times in our life, it is in the waiting that God is working on his purpose, preparing us and bringing his promise to fruition. In the waiting times. So let me close with this. Powerful question. Worship team's going to come. Here's the question I want to leave you with. Will you allow God to write the rest of your story? Because if we let him, God desires to take our lives, our struggles, our triumphs, and everything in between, and use them to shape us for a purpose far greater than we could ever imagine. He doesn't just want us to grow personally. He does, but not that's not it. That's not just it. He wants to empower us to impact others with the life-changing love of Jesus Christ. He blesses us to be a blessing. He takes our pain to be able to help other people and comfort other people. Pain has a purpose. And I think so many times, I know yesterday, this last week, man, Christmas Eve was a nightmare for me. Yesterday was a nightmare for me. Everything seemed to go wrong. I had another flat tire on a car and had a car that wouldn't start and blah, 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 blah. And it's funny, Charity made this observation. She goes, it's funny when you start preaching about these things that all this stuff happens to you. It's like God is saying, okay, you're going to preach about this. I want you to preach about this, but now you're going to experience some of it. And that wasn't heartbreaking loss or anything like that. It was just stupid, irritating, frustrating circumstances. But how often do we allow stupid, little, irritating frustrations to derail us? And we get caught up in the circumstance instead of saying, okay, God, I still love you. I know that you love me, and I'm not going to focus on this. I'm just going to push through and be faithful. Even the small ones, small, all the in-betweens, right? God uses them to prepare us to grow personally, but also so that we can help others and show others a life-changing Jesus Christ through our lives as he empowers us. And if we let him, God desires to take our lives, our struggles, our triumphs, I've said all this, and everything in between, and use them to shape us for a far bigger purpose than we can imagine. He doesn't just want us to grow. Each of us, whether you believe it or not, each of you have a divine purpose. Let me just say that now if you've never heard it. Each of you have a divine purpose, right? A divine purpose, and the chapters that God writes are filled with opportunities to reflect his grace, his mercy and love to the world. Just like Gianna. The story He is crafting for you toward the destiny that he has planned for you, one that will change not only your life, but also the lives of others, and not just for a week or a month, but for eternity. Think about it, eternity, eternity. That's a big time frame, right? To infinity and beyond. Eternity, forever and ever. So I'll ask you again, will you trust him with the pen? Will you let him guide you toward the destiny that he has planned? One that will change, again, not only your lives, but the lives of so many others. The story that he is crafting in you is one of transformation. Transformation. Not just for your own benefit, but for countless lives, that your obedience to the Father will bring. Let me pray for us. Oh God, what an amazing series. And Lord, we thank you for our story. Thank you for the story that you're writing in our lives. We recognize that we are not just here by accident, but that you have a unique purpose for each of us. That even in our brokenness, you can bring amazing victory out of it. Help us to trust you, not only with our past and our present, but our future. As we continue on this journey, may we be faithful to your calling and open to your ways. Open to the ways that you want to use us to reach others with your love. Lead us, guide us, and fill us with your Spirit to boldly walk in the destiny that you have planned for us. And we pray this in your Son's mighty and holy name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen.